Blog Talk Radio.
Mom, I can't hear you, so hang up and call right back. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening and say hello to the people.
Good evening, my PRF family. I'm believing that everybody is doing well in spite of. And we're just going to have a good time tonight on the show. And just call on in and express yourself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, tonight is a special night because I think we have a very good topic for everybody. Tonight we're going to be dealing with this one really passage of Scripture. It's going to come out of Mark chapter 9, starting around the 14th verse and going to the 27th verse. Mama, listen, we deal with the society, we deal with the church, we deal with our own individual faith communities, we deal with so many things, and especially being a minister, being a religious leader, being an educator, I see a whole bunch I have to hold in and carry, you know, encapsulate so many of people's PRF-related issues. And one of the things that I really believe is truly lacking, if you will, that we have to address is helping people to understand the possibilities of what God is trying to do in a lot of people's lives. What is God trying to do in understanding and helping people to see the possibilities that are out there, the possibilities. I remember speaking on a message one time. I can't remember the title, but it was something like, if you can believe, the possibilities are endless.
Yes.
And when it comes to our possessions, our resources, and finances, you know, we're just in a society, we're just in a day and time that a lot of things are achievable, but people have to believe. Now, that is not to say that as people believe that the possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless for people to increase their credit score. The possibilities are endless for people not to just feel just totally just worthless in society because they don't have good credit. Possibilities are endless when it comes to people engaged that are in a marital relationship and having some strife because of possessions, resources, and finances. and then being able to come back to a place or get to a place where, you know what, they look back 2 or 3 years later and be like, you know what? What was all that stuff we was fussing about years ago? You know, they realize that their belief, their faith, something about that, something about exercising it, really does something. And we can stay on this show. I'm kind of, you know, it's kind of befitting where we are this evening specifically, because it kind of mirrors a little bit of where I am physically.
Yes.
Physically first, and then also, you know, the spiritual part comes after that for this particular moment.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to get away. Sometimes you have to get into a place where you can't do all the stuff that you used to do.
Right.
Because if you do all the stuff that you used to do, when God tries to do the new thing, when God tries to take the thing he already has given to you, and you can't do what you need to do with that thing, why in the heck he going to give you something else? So it is befitting that many of us probably, I'll say myself particularly, but many of us, in order to get those things where we're able to live out John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to life, give life, and give life more abundantly. So I'm telling you why I came. So if Jesus said it, then ain't no disputing it. Jesus came to give life and give life more abundantly. That's it. So the question then becomes, what does abundance mean to you?
Right.
What does abundance mean to you? And if it's, you have a hard time understanding what abundance is, see, abundance and prosperity are not the same things.
Right.
So I feel sorry for a whole bunch of people that have fallen into a quote-unquote prosperity gospel, because Jesus didn't say, I came to give life and give you life more prosperous. He said abundant. Now, you can go and look up the definitions for yourself, and you can have a debate among yourself. I'm going to go with what he said. And so I understand that abundant is not just an individual thing. That's the piece that so many people miss. When people are dealing with this thing so-called prosperity gospel, right?
Yes.
Then it's not about what we'll do individually, collectively. It's about what God's going to do for you individually. And here's the reality. The reality, as I see it, is this. If you don't give now, I have no expectation that you're going to give once you become rich.
Right.
Because it's not about the amount that you give, it's that you give with a pure heart. So if you can't give from a pure heart, if you can't give that 10 cents from a pure heart, ain't no way in the world anybody should believe that you're going to give with a pure heart when now all of a sudden you got $10 million in your bank account.
Yes.
Or $100,000 worth of assets. Or your net worth all of a sudden is $300,000. Ain't no way in the world anybody should believe that, because actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
Speak louder than words. So we have something. We have Adia, who is with us this evening.
Hello,
and
everyone.
Hi, Cracker.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all don't know how happy I am to be here. I am so happy.
Glad to have you here.
And let me just say, for those of y'all who do not know, in case this is your first time listening, it's not just myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and Sister Mary Ann Williams, or as I said, known as Mama. We're not the only two hosts. We also have Shatara Sherwood, Reverend Warren Feaster, and also Adia Sanders. So there's five of us that collectively co-host this show, regardless of who voice you hear more often. It's not about one person, it's about all five of us. And so, cousin, I am so happy to hear you. I was like, they finally done let my cousin get off of work early, or she done dropped the mic on him or dropped the skill craft on him and said, I got to go because I got to take my rightful seat at the table. So I'm hoping that's what the second part of it is. You just dropped the skill craft on him, right? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's jump into this. I know it did as you travel home from work, you get into those mountains, so you jump in where you can, and if we can hear you, we'll let you know. I know she's not on with us right now, so whenever she comes back, we'll catch up with her. So listen, Mama, here we go.
Yes.
Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Here's a little bit of context for you. So what happened was Jesus had, he took three of the apostles or three of the disciples up to him to this place called the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he takes Peter up there, John, and he takes James up there. And then what they see among them was they see Jesus looking as white as snow, his clothing, right? Whiter than any, you know, you can take your clothes to the best cleaners. You can have the White House cleaning people. And the clothes is not going to be as white as these three disciples saw on Jesus, just pure white like snow. And then they saw Elisha and they saw Moses. They saw him talking to Jesus. And so then there was a conversation, and you just keep on going. Eventually they came down from the mountain. And as they come down from the mountain, you get over to verse 14. And in verse 14, that's where we want to pick up. So Adia is back with us. Sounds like Adia is driving. But I just wanted to make sure that we had her while we have her. And Adia, do you have anything that you just want to give to us that's been burning on your heart? We know it's been a couple of weeks, but we just want to make sure give you an opportunity.
I don't have much to say right now, but I do want to say, you know, when you were talking about abundance, I'm telling you, my spirit got excited because that is one of the things that I've been, where my heart has been, is living the abundant life in every area, and fully understanding what abundance. Heard abundance, like, I am so serious. I was excited, and the life that Jesus came to give us, it was exactly that. And there is a difference between prosperity and abundance, and if we will catch hold, you know, of what the Word of God is saying and just allowing the Word to be ignited into our spirits, we will definitely begin to see a difference. We will definitely begin to live life differently, to speak life differently, and enjoy the abundance that God has for us. And I'm just so excited. Like I said, I don't have, that's not much to say at this moment, but I'm really looking forward to just hearing everything. And I just would ask if you can just give the scriptures one more time so I can, you know, get fed the word, you know, I'm excited.
Sure.
That's all I have at this time.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to be, and this is for everybody, we're going to be in the 9th chapter of Mark. Chapter 9, verses 14 to probably about 27. You know how we're going to try to actually do it within this hour. And if it goes over an hour, then we'll be okay. Oh, my goodness. Am I just blessed today? Hold on, y'all. I think I see somebody that's with us today, and she may not be ready to talk, but I have to just say it. So you already know I'm coming to you because D is on the show and Mama's on the show and I'm on the show and everybody just heard me say there's a couple other people that host this show.
Yeah.
They heard that name, Chitara Sherwood. And so I just wonder if Chitara is with us today. Even if she wasn't ready, she got folk in front of her face. I don't care. We just got to hear her voice, and then she can go back doing whatever she's doing. So, Chitara, what is going on?
He's here.
Hello,
everyone.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just happy to be here. In
listen,
position I can dial in, and I can, you know, hopefully engage in some of the dialogue. You know, it's been a few weeks, and I've missed it. You know, I've been missing you guys.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I'm just happy to be here.
Listen, now one of y'all need to text Brother Feaster and say, Brother Feaster, let me tell you what he did last week, y'all. We just have a conversation. Now, let me tell you what he did last week or whenever it was. I think I was in Austin. He texted me at about 9:15. He said, "Did I miss the show?" And I was like, "Bruh, again, yes, you did." He's like, "The day I tried to get there to the table, I'm an hour behind." And so that time difference got him. So if somebody would text Brother Feast and say, "Look, we on the air now, so you need to come in and let this be where we need to be tonight." So, so Shatara, I know you just jumped in. We are actually going to be talking from Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 27. And really what we're focusing on, just where we felt, you know, led tonight is that there's so many people that are having so many challenges and struggles. And if you look at what's going on in television, if you look at what's going on the news, if you pay attention to what's on Facebook and social media and how so many people have these expectations that, you know, we have a Democratic nominee, we have a Republican nominee, and they're talking about all this stuff that's going to happen if they become the one that gets put in office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just here to tell you it's a bunch of foolishness. Because I thought about something as I was watching CNN about 20 minutes before the show, just sitting here, and I said, what these individuals are saying, just pay attention, and I have to speak to the believer right now. I don't hear neither one of those two individuals saying anything about how they're being led by God. I don't see anything about either one of these individuals saying that God is anywhere involved in what they're doing. And the reason they can't do that is, one, because they don't want to offend anybody. Because they can't say and act like they're just on one side of the fence. Because if you say that, then now there's an expectation that you're going to have to follow the word, and that means you're going to be in some vicarious situation. That may be just one of my plausible explanations. There may be others up there. But their job is not to live out the Bible. That's not the office of the president. And so with so many things going on in our own individual communities, in our own households, in our own families, in our own relationships, it's up to us. And one of the things about this text is you'll see as we get into it, there's a need for somebody to stand up in the midst of when things are going on. And we can't expect it to be that individual who happens to get the most votes to be the nominee. This Bible that we have is not something that either one of those individuals are saying, "This is what I'm guided by." I ain't hearing none of that. And guess what? I'm not expecting to hear any of that. I don't care if they even say it or not. Because the reality is, it's us. It's the believers. We're the ones who are supposed to be following this. This is supposed to be the ruling God for us. We can't force this on anybody else. All right, that's my rant. Anybody got anything? That's my little rant. That's my introductory rant. I'm so happy to have everybody on the show. Y'all done got me all off kilter.
I'm excited too.
All right, so let's look at Mark chapter 9. So in verse 14, it starts off where Jesus, again, I gave a little bit of the background of the context. He was on the mountain, transfiguration. He comes down. So now as he comes down, that's where verse 14 picks it up. It says, "When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes were disputing among them." And so now you got a situation, and please, y'all jump in wherever you can. This is not like Sunday morning where you can't say nothing back to the preacher other than amen and hallelujah. The thing that I found interesting was when he came, he was approaching them, right? So he was approaching them, and he saw all these people, and he saw all these folk fussing. So he got, and here's what you have to realize, who was there? You had the disciples that was there on one hand, and then you got these teachers of the religious law. So you got individuals, it's not like these are novices, right? The teachers of religious law, you know, you just didn't get to be a scribe, you know, not knowing anything. So now you got all these folks that are just fussing, and it's like, okay, what's going on? Why are these people fussing? Doesn't that remind us of where we are right now in society?
Yes.
You got a whole bunch of folk that are educated. You got a whole bunch of believers. You got a whole bunch of all different types of folk from all different types of backgrounds. And if you keep watching the news and watching on social media and watching the debate, you not the debate because they ain't had one of those, but you keep seeing so many people at one another. And it's amazing that when folks are at one another, people lose sight of what the big picture is. You know, one of the things about, I think, Shatara, you had posted something, and then we started engaging in a little conversation. I said, let me get back to work, because, you know, we've been going back and forth. I said, nah, I said, we're going to save it for the show if it come out. But the reality is the conversations that people are having right now, in the big scheme of things, what is it really, really doing? What is it really, how is it really affecting what's going on in your community? I'm not saying, you know, ignore what's going on in society and in the country at large, but I am trying to get people to focus on your Jerusalem, if you will, right? Remember Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said real clear, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. So it was clear that Jesus said, look, I don't need you to start way off across the pond. I need you to deal with what's going on right at home, because that's where you have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for us as believers to be able to have the greatest impact right where we are. So you keep going on, and then it says in verse 15 that immediately when they saw him, so when they saw Jesus, it said all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, and they greeted him. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus wasn't even totally on the scene yet, he was just coming. So isn't it amazing how when people see Jesus, how everything that they were fussing about, it just stopped. It just stopped. So you have to ask yourself, if we're continuing in our society and our communities to have so much fussing and fighting about who should get and who should not get, then maybe that's just an indication that our eyes ain't focused on the right thing. Maybe we're looking to something else versus looking for Jesus to be involved in the situation. I'm thinking about how the last part of the verse says they ran towards him. It didn't say they walked. It didn't say they was lazy about it. It said they ran towards him. So if they ran towards him, then that means all the stuff that they were dealing with, they had to leave behind. And that's what a whole bunch of people need to do in regards to a lot of stuff dealing with PRF. We can't allow folks, and I say we can't allow folks, we can't allow folks to just think that you can continue to deal and dibble and dabble in certain things regarding your PRF, like spending money or not having a budget or not having life insurance, and think that those things are not going to come back to bite them. And what often happens is people, after that thing doesn't work out like they thought, then they're looking for Jesus. And I'm trying to encourage folks to say, look, Jesus is trying to come to you, but he's waiting for you to meet him. See, if they would have just sat there where they were, that's a whole different part of the text, which is not there. So it ain't happened. It didn't say they waited on Jesus to get to him. It said running to him, they were amazed and running to him. And then they greeted him. So that's the beginning part, if you will. The other thing was, I like how in verse 16 it says, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Isn't it amazing that here we are dealing with Jesus, asking them, what y'all fussing about? Again, this is Jesus. Do you really think Jesus didn't know what they were fussing about? Sometimes the Spirit is going to ask us a question. What are you doing? And it's not that God does not have the answer. I really believe that more so than anything, he wants to see the response that we're going to give. What response are we going to give? So maybe some of the questions that Jesus probably is trying to ask some of us, some of you who are listening, is when are you going to get life insurance? When are you going to put your will in place? Excuse me, clear my throat. Yeah. when are you going to put at least $10 away every paycheck? So you may not be able, you may not see it where it's the greatest benefit right now. But Jesus, Audrey, what are you going to do? To me, that's one of the biggest questions out here. What are we going to do? We see all these problems, all these issues, and so many jokers is out here just so focused on these two yahoos running for president right now. I'll be respectful once one of them wins. right now, they're yahoos to me. But what are you going to do? Not what they're going to do. What are you going to do? This is the part that I like. Then one of the crowd answered and said unto them, Teacher, I brought my son to you who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and it foams at the mouth, it gnashes his teeth, and becomes so rigid. You know, we're talking about convulsions or epilepsy, right? So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Bam, this is like drop the mic and just sit there for a while and just look at them. Like, mm-hmm. I hear you saying this to me. I hear you saying this to me. But I'm just going to look at you. I mean, you know, maybe Jesus wouldn't do that, but I would. I'm just going to look at you like, Because that's so interesting to me. Like, hold on. And here's what I want folk. This is what I feel. Y'all can chime in as you wish. Jesus went away for 6 days. While he was gone, he left the disciples. He didn't take all 12 of them with him. He only took 3, Peter, James, and John. So the other 9 were there. And here they are in the midst of all of this. These people fussing. And how in the world, I don't know how to say it. I'm trying to be nice, y'all. How in the world are we the ambassadors for Christ? How are we the hands and feet of Jesus? And acting just like these folk here. This man said, I brought my son who was having this issue. I brought my son who was having this condition to you. But you wasn't here. So I talked to your disciples. I talked to the ones who you left behind to be able to help us. Because after all, they're a disciple, they're a learner of Christ. And they had the spirit. Jesus had equipped them with what they needed, but they couldn't do it. Don't you know there's so many people that's like, why the heck am I going to go to the church? They ain't giving out nothing. Why the heck am I going to go to this pastor? He always ignores me. Why am I going to go to my mom or my daddy? They always tell me no. There has to be something inherently wrong. The fact that Jesus is no longer physically on this earth is not a hard concept. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, right? But I should not leave you comforted, right? I shall leave you with the comforter, one who's going to guide you in all truth, one who's going to help you along this journey. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jesus left to go away because we know he's coming back again. So just like in Mark chapter 9, he's gone away for a temporary spot, and he's coming back. So who the heck is supposed to be helping to make stuff work down here on earth while he's gone? Us. It's kind of like, can I say it like this? We're the ones that's supposed to be filling in the gaps. But yet there's so many people that don't want nothing to do with the church. There's so many people that don't want nothing to do with church folk. And maybe, just maybe, it's because so many of us, and I know Brother Fisa was on, he would get me because I ain't saying we, but I'm saying us. But so many of us are sitting like those doggone 9 disciples, not able to do a doggone thing for anybody, except say stuff like, I'll pray for you. I got a text tonight. So many people responded on this text for the organization I'm in. One of the brothers had a situation with his wife, and all these messages coming back, I pray for you, I pray for you, I pray for you. Guess what? Can we think outside the box? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying, can we think outside the box? The first response does not always need to be, because you ain't got nothing else to give, I pray for you. This brother's wife is hurting, meaning she ain't going to work. Can we see if she worked an hourly job? but she ain't gonna get no paycheck for her until she go back to work. Can we just check on that? Because maybe in addition to I'm gonna pray for you, maybe we need to help her out financially, them out. Maybe we need to ask the brother, hey, bro, okay, y'all got a check coming in. Maybe whatever happened to her with this accident, it was in the middle of the pay week. So that means the check may be half. Why don't we think about the real deal stuff that people have going on? Just baffles my mind. Baffles my mind. I'm about to be quiet after this. So here comes Jesus. So he listens to him. Again, I would have looked at him probably a little bit longer. I don't know how long Jesus took to answer him, but eventually he answered him. He said, you faithless generation. Two important things that he says. One is, how long shall I be with you? Then the next thing he says, how long shall I bear with you? I submit that those are two different things. See, being with you was, look, I'm already here with you physically on this earth. I went away for a couple of days thinking that y'all had this under control. Thinking that, look, I know, I have confidence in you that you are equipped with what I have given to you because you've been with me. And I'm thinking about, okay, look, imagine this. Jesus was gone for 6 days. How many folk we sitting up in the church and been sitting up in church for the last 20 years? They need help in certain areas of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Still asking Jesus to fix it. Thinking that Jesus ain't answering the prayer. The word of God is real clear. He went away. So since he went away, who else is supposed to be here? Can we go to Matthew 25? You know, in Matthew 25, Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you came to see about me, visit me. When I was in prison, you came to see about me, to check on me. Okay. The physical Jesus is not here. If it was all about the Holy Spirit comforting and we not having to do anything, then that's totally antithetical to the Bible. But it's so clear to me that, yes, as the Holy Spirit operates within us as individuals who he's placed on this earth, that we're the ones that's supposed to be making all this stuff, deal with all this crap that's going on, where so many people are not able to live life and live life more abundantly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad, and I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to try. I'm so glad that in that same chapter, right, when he said to his disciples, they said, hold on. Well, Master, when did we ever see you hungry and fed you? When did we ever see you naked and clothed? When did we do all those things? He said, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So whenever you did that to your brother, you did it unto me. Whenever you did it to your neighbor, you did it unto me. But then he goes to the other side. When I was hungry, you didn't. When I was thirsty, you didn't. When I was naked, you didn't. Well, hold on. When did we not do those things? Every time you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. So it's real simple. And here's what he says. He doesn't tell none of them, the ones, the sheep, when he separates himself, I'll separate them as the sheep and the goat. He didn't say to neither one of them, this is what you must do. If you go back and read it, he didn't say, this is what you must do. You must feed, give to the hungry. You must give to the thirsty. He didn't say that. What he puts it out there to him in Matthew 25 is, you got a choice, Jack. That's it. It ain't real hard. And if you decide, then there's a benefit regarding whichever side you decide you want to be on. When he gets to the 46th verse for that chapter, Matthew 25, which is the last verse, and he just drops the mic. He said, and this is after he said to them, you know, what you did not do to the least of these, you did not do it unto me. Verse 46, he says this, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Uh-oh, so you mean that I ain't got to decipher this for you. Jesus said, if you do the former, you'll be considered righteous, and you'll go into eternal life. If you do the latter, then it's real clear. You're going into everlasting punishment. You can read out of King James Version. It sounds a whole lot more rougher in a King James Version. But we are the hands and feet of Christ. If we want things to change, if we want things to change with credit, then we got to deal with stuff from a biblical perspective. We have to have a biblical foundation for so much of what we're trying to do and what we want to see change in our own community. And if we can't get that biblical foundation behind us, then what are we doing? We're building a house on sinking sand, as the word says. And it's not going to last. And that's why it's so easy for certain folks to just try to, and this is my opinion, why is it so easy for some folks to just really say, yes, I'm going to follow this particular candidate, or yes, I'm going to follow that particular candidate, because they lost. I ain't talking about everybody, but there's so many people that are lost and just looking for a savior. And Jesus is like, man, I really wish they'd try my way. The only way they're going to know to try my way is they see us trying his way. So if we don't try his way, then who are they going to get it from? And I promise you, I ain't going to say anything about, let me just say this. Revelation is looking like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Revelation is looking like something right about now. I don't know about you, but I ain't dealing with it right now. But I'm just telling you what I see. I'm like, you know what? You can keep on thinking that who you about to get is going to make you prosperous.
No.
You can think it, but I can tell you the same way. It costs a lot of people in Revelation, or it will cost a lot of people in Revelation, just to keep up and just to have the bare minimum. And it don't even matter anymore who you used to be. In a later time, they're going to see that they really ain't got it all together. If people just understood that, it's like, you know what, man, let me try to do it God's way. Anybody got anything? I don't know where I'm at. I'm just where I'm at. Okay. So let me go back to Mark chapter 9. So as this man said, and again, you got to think about this. This was a father. The last thing that Jesus said after he said, be with me. And this whole thing was, look, I can't be with you all the time. I got stuff to do. I can't be with y'all. I got folk that I need to help. And here y'all are, y'all can't do this. So the second thing he said was, how long shall I bear with you? Do you know what he is saying in that scripture, in that part of the scripture? How long must I tolerate you? How long must I tolerate the fact that you know you got folk that are hungry in your church, but you won't refer them to the food bank down the doggone street? How long must I tolerate you? You know folks sitting up in here credit on a 401, acting like they got it all good, but we ain't offering jack for them to help them out. How long must I tolerate y'all? Because y'all giving me a bad freaking name. This ain't the type of Jesus that folk are looking for. And I'm going to tell you, somebody asked me, a lady in the airport the other day, asked me, how did I get involved in PRF? And I said, it came out of hurt. It came out of being a young Christian and coming in the church and people saying, this is what you follow. You follow this book. If it ain't in the book, you don't listen to it. I wasn't the most educated person, but I sure as heck wasn't dumb, and I knew how to read pretty well. And God gave me a mind that was able to comprehend some things. And he gave me a mouth to able to ask some questions. And I find out, y'all jokers can't even answer the simple question. but yet here y'all are fussing and fighting over giving Sister Minnie $150 for a light bill, but don't want to ask no questions of why. Something seemed wrong, and I'm just grateful to God, and I know a lot of other people are too, that I just didn't say to hell with this thing. Because it was easy to say to hell with it. Real easy. I don't see this love that you're talking about. I see a whole bunch of folks getting happy on Sunday. But after Sunday, what about the rest of the week?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you that there are so many people right now that are outside of the church that didn't say, I'm going to stick with this. I ain't talking about go to another church. I'm talking about that just bailed out altogether. You know how many people I know that have bailed out of this thing altogether? Okay, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Huh. Jesus, I believe one of the things he did was he left the 99 to go after the one. I believe that's what he did. And so that means we can't just be satisfied that we got, you know, 7,000 folk listening to us on Thursdays. Or no, we can't be happy with the 6,999 when it used to be 7,000. Now that one is like, you know what? This ain't working no more for me. How long is God going to tolerate this? That's what he said. How long do I have to tolerate you? How long I got to bear with you being like this, operating like you ain't got no faith? That's so crazy to me. And I'm like, you know what? Since he said it, I guess I got to take it for face value because he said it. And then he gets to the point where he says, bring them to me. Don't you? Come on, y'all. Doesn't that have to be like embarrassing? Think about this. Just try to picture this for a moment. You got the disciples who have walked with Jesus all this time, and you got these crowds, right? Multitudes. And they fussing with the religious teachers of the religious law. Okay, so let's put it transparent. Here you are, you got folk that don't go to church, or may have just started going to church. And then you got these folk that's been ministers and deacons and other religious leaders, and they've been in this thing, or some seasoned saints who's been in this thing for a whole, you know, 40, 50 years of their life. And then you got the disciples that really should have it together. Because of who they've been with, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, like, you faithless generation of folk. If I was a leader, and Jesus said, you faithless minister, you faithless pastor, or any other adjective that he wants to put in front of that. And he doesn't in front of folk. See, the stakes ain't too high right now. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Because, see, ain't nobody calling out pastors. Jesus ain't calling out pastors openly like that. That fails to make sure that people have access to the type of resources that they need to be able to help them with their everyday things, other than we're going to pray about this, other than I need you to keep coming to all these churches, all these church events. And at the same time, you know, I ain't going to ask you how you're doing financially, but I need you to give a whole heap a lot. But can you imagine Jesus coming to your church on Sunday morning? Or coming to your church conference or business meeting? They call your leaders out in front of everybody, faithless generation, put you in the pot with everybody else. Oh my goodness, how rough could that possibly be? But because we don't see that, right? Because God forbid a Dr. Dunlap comes and calls out another pastor, that you got those whatever heights. Oh, touch not my anointing. Joke, I'm anointed too, so guess what? See, you couldn't live in the biblical days because the prophets, them jokers, them cats, they said it like it was. And if you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't, you didn't. And that's a whole other story about prophecy. You can't be sitting up here in today's age thinking that all the prophecies are about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
No, no, no. Some of this, you may die. Yeah. You're going to die. I think that, I believe one of the prophets said that to Habakkuk, if I'm not mistaken. Huh? You're going to die. Man, don't come to me with that. The devil is a lie. See? Now we messed up. You're about to lose your car. The devil a lie. I pay my bill every month. No. It's not always coming like that. Oh, boy, y'all got me like this today. But we got to be real with folk. So Jesus calls them out, right? How long should I be with you? So they bring them to him, and then and here's the thing. This is the key. Jesus is constantly showing them what to do. So if Jesus is constantly showing them what to do, what they need to do is what Jesus did. Because if they do what Jesus did, then the likelihood of it working out the way it's supposed to is going to be greater. So when you go down to verse 20, it says, then they brought him, talking about the boy, to him, to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground, and he wallowed, and he foamed at the mouth. Can I tell you that when people are going through the matters that we always deal with on this show, the enemy wants folk to continue to deal with them. The enemy always wants folk not to have adequate life insurance. The enemy always wants folk not to have life insurance. The enemy wants folk not to have a will. The enemy wants folk credit to be on a 600, a 500, a 400. The enemy wants folk not to pay those medical bills. The enemy wants folk not to do any of those things. But it's something about when that condition comes into contact with God's spirit. You can't say Jesus, the person of Jesus, like it was here. So we had to deal with the spirit. Then there should be something that changes somebody's situation. It has to be. That's, and what I'm speaking from, y'all, I'm speaking from a place of faith, to be totally honest with you. I'm saying, you know what? Okay. Bank account a little bit low. Okay. I'm not just going to pray about it. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to put some work in. It may require me to work, know that somebody can ask for some overtime. Okay, I'm a person not employed. Okay, yeah, thank you for praying for me. However, I'm gonna put applications in. I'm gonna send resumes out like I'm on Facebook, scrolling up and down, posting, sharing, and responding. I'm gonna take that time and I'm gonna put it into some applications and some resumes. Forget how many I do. You just continue doing it until something happens. The opposite is don't do nothing, okay? And then watch, and we talk about how PRF is about how we deal with PRF, with when there's a disruption with your finances, how it affects or can affect your possessions, and it can affect your resources. When there's a disruption with your resources, how can it affect your finance, how it can affect your possessions, right? So we don't want folk waiting until certain things happen, and then once those things happen, then they got the disruption, and now they want a miracle. So going into verse 21, so Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been going on? Do you see, oh my goodness, the fact that Jesus cared enough to ask, how long has this been going on? Can that not be the same example that we use for other folks? How long you ain't had life insurance? How long has it been since you found out that you needed a will, but you didn't do it? You attended the PRF learning session on will you or will you not, but how long has it been since you attended that? Matter of fact, I think I'm going to put that verse in an email and send it to some former attendees. How long has it been that you finished will you and will you not? Have you completed your will yet? How long has it been since you requested your credit report? How long has it been since you checked your credit score? How long has it been, unemployed ma'am, unemployed sir, since you put in an application? That question is not a demeaning question. It should come from a sincere place in the heart. Because if we're going to be really like Christ wants us to be, and we ask the question, and we're doing it with a sincere heart, then maybe somebody will give us a sincere response. And if they give us a sincere response, that helps us to begin the dialogue or begin the conversation and moving on to dialogue so we can try to help folks and or allow them to help themselves. And so here's maybe the last thing I'll say. So the man tells him, but he said, this has been going on since he was a young child. So this situation that this young boy had is not uncommon. Now think about this. Somebody that's going through these type of things that this young man is going through, can you believe with me that during that time in that society that it was not uncommon for a whole bunch of folk to know what was going on with that little boy? Do you think all of these things happened while that little boy was in the house? Or do you think that these epileptic seizures came at so many other times where a whole bunch of other folks saw? Do you think that there was a whole bunch of neighbors that knew that he had this condition? I think it's possible. So how many of us know people that are going through things and never ask a question? You see somebody with a raggedy car, just raggedy, but you know they're working hard and they go to work every day and their car is running on three tires in essence. How long has it been like that? Maybe the question is, man, you know what? I just all I needed was another $50, man. I got the rest of the money for the down payment. I just need another $50, man, because I really need my payments down at 200 versus 240. So I just need. You never know what kind of response somebody's going to give you when you go to them and you ask them what's going on. How long has it been like this? I think Brother Feaster, if he was with us, he would say that's an equivalent of having the courage enough to care.
Yes.
So here's Jesus' response. Well, let me go back to what the man. The man said something. He said something. He said, if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's talking to Jesus. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Do you understand that the Father, even though he wasn't going through the same condition of the boy, he loved his son so much that what his son was experiencing, he was feeling some kind of way as well, because that's his son whom he loved. Don't you think God is the same way when folks are going through stuff with their PRF? Don't you think there's that same type of connection because we're his children, just like that father was the parent of that little boy? God is the father of all of us because he created us, and then he created us in his image and after our likeness. So you got to know some of the struggles that folk are going through. God is like, man, my heart is breaking right now. And I think it's one of those things where he's like, I've got so many people, so many of y'all down there are equipped. I say down there, you know what I mean. So many of y'all on earth, on this planet, are equipped to help each other. Just so equipped. What are we going to do? And Jesus' response says this. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's a powerful statement. Remember what the Father did. He already took a step of faith by bringing his son to Jesus. Here's what the Father could have done as he's standing there with his son, who he knows has this condition, and he's listening to these church folk, and he's listening and looking at the doggone disciples like, man, I don't know what to do. What the heck? What you mean you don't know what to do? Isn't that part of the problem? People in position, holding ministerial titles, and don't know what the heck to do. don't know where to send folk. So you got folk that's looking. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. Everybody around sitting around looking and then fussing and fighting. But ain't nothing getting done. Don't you know how easy it could have been for that father to be like, man, let me get out of here with these clowns. Let me leave these fools alone because evidently they got some issues. And I can tell you, I say it like that because y'all know that's how I am. But you got a whole bunch of other folks that ain't going to be as nice with their terminology about when they leave the church. When they don't go to you as a man or woman of God anymore to bring something to you. I'm done. Y'all, Shatar, Adia, Mama, I'm done. I close out if y'all want me to now. You know I close out, but.
I think you, I mean, it was pretty plain to me. You made it pretty plain. It's, you know, there's not much else to add.
And I can just say, happy on Sunday. What about the rest of the week?
Yeah. I mean, what I took from it is what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, when we talked about this before in the past, what are we as individuals doing to help our situation? So, I mean, we still have some onus in it. You can't just put it all on Jesus and say, you know, I'm praying for him to work it out. He's going to fix it. Yes, he is able to fix it. And he wants it fixed. He wants you to live more abundantly. But you have to be willing to do what's in your purview to do. So that's, you know, that's what's sticking with me. I just hope that, you know, everybody who's listening can grab on to something for them that you've said, because I mean it's really that basic. It's really that basic. If you have the lessons, if someone has mentioned something to you about a will or about life insurance or car insurance for that matter, because there are people who are driving around without car insurance, or saving, you know, put $10 mm-hmm. away a week, mm-hmm. a month, you know, it doesn't matter. If start with the penny jar. I mean, even that's a start. Mm-hmm. You have to do something towards, you know, changing your situation. So, you know. As always, it was a good word.
Yes.
You know, there's been a couple of deaths that have occurred recently. I was talking to a bishop the other day, and he was sharing with me that, you know, there was just been a couple of deaths, and these were not people in their 60s, not saying that, you know, or 70s, not saying that, you know, it's a good thing when anybody passes along because we understand the hurt and the pain that comes from those of us who are left behind. However, when people are in their youthful ages, right, you know, 20, 30, and 40s, you know, it's just not normal. That's not something that we like, oh, the person was only 40 years old and they passed away. It's like, oh, whatever. You know, that's just not the mindset that we have. And those have been some of the deaths that this bishop has been experiencing within his congregation. And then over there in Albany with Sister Ernestine, Minister Ernestine, a young brother named Sherrod Hart. I knew him as a youth pastor and very near and dear and very fit. I mean, just a beast. Passed away the other day. And it has me just, I mean, the place where I sit right now, I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and I was watching the news the other day, and 40, listen to this statistic, teenage pregnancy is off the charts here. And they have 40 teenage pregnancies a week. What in the world? Now, when you think about that, it didn't go any further. It didn't go to whether they keep the baby, whether they abort the baby, whether there's been miscarriages, whether it's been put up for adoption. It didn't go to any of those other statistics. But But just imagine 40 a week. Imagine all 40 a week get born. That's a whole nother life. So it becomes even more crucial for the mother and the father of that child to make sure that their child has the best life. So you got, I mean, you, this thing of a good man leaves an inheritance, excuse me, to his children's children, that's starting at an earlier age for these folks here. So you can't wait until they become 25 and 30 years old not to address some of the stuff that we're dealing with today, that we're talking about tonight, because it's right there. And no matter how many folks don't want to deal with that, that's the reality in this city. Unbelievable. What about saving for college? The heck, a 14-year-old, how much money a 14-year-old going to be able to put away for college? The reality is their parents are probably going to have to take care of them and their child and other family members. So we got some real deal things. And as far as all some of this other stuff that folk are talking about, I'm like, man, let some of this crap go. I don't want to hear nothing else about no national anthem. I'm just telling you, what does that have to do with what folk are really going through? Because at the end of the day, Chitara, I don't know if it was you who posted this, but somebody posted where the NFL didn't start standing for the national anthem. It's probably you because, yeah, you the firecracker on Facebook. It said the NFL did not start standing for the national anthem until the 90s, I think. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we done had about 50 Super Bowls that I know. So all this stuff folks talking about is unpatriotic. And okay, so let's talk about what was going on for the first 30 years of the league.
Mm-hmm.
How unpatriotic it was. So here's what happens. Mm-hmm. When you start saying that, you never get folks that want to come to an agreement because the only thing people want to do is have their voice heard. It's not about us coming and having a dialogue. It's just I'm going to say what I want to say, you're going to say. And the bigger things is if I don't stand nay another time for the national anthem, there's still going to be folk that's hungry that's going to need my help.
That's right. That's right.
I said something at the airport. I was in the airport, I think Sunday. I was at the airport, and I thought to my wife, and I said, I'm about to go off. And she was like, what's the matter? I said, I'm watching this football game, and they got the national anthem, and ain't nobody stood up. I'm about to go off and say, y'all unpatriotic yahoos. Because think about it. Oh, if it's really that serious, how come folks want to stand up in the airport? In the terminal.
Exactly.
We got a whole hour. So it ain't like we about to get on a plane. We got a whole hour before they start calling up first class.
Yep.
So in the big scheme of things, so much that people are fussing and fighting about is not worth it. There are conversations that we need to have. But everybody don't need to be involved in it. So my thing is, be involved in the conversations that the Spirit of God is leading you. And that's why I'm glad that Jesus didn't say, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's like, nah, I'm going to make a decision. So what side you going to be on is up to you. If you're going to be a sheep or a goat, it's totally up to you. But here's what's going to happen to the sheep, and here's what's going to happen to the goats.
Right.
It's not going to go any other way. It's not going to go any other way. So I'm not here to make friends with anybody. I'm not. I hope that people really see this for what it is. The enemy desires to get God's people off track. And if there was 8 tracks, it seems like we are so far off the track. But there's still time to get back on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how many more days, but I know tomorrow can be a fresh start. So I just encourage folks, let's get it together, y'all. Let's please get it together, because there's a whole bunch of people that are counting on us, and there's a whole bunch of people that will have to count on us. If you take those 40 teenage young ladies or girls who get pregnant every week, do you know how much support that they're going to need from the rest of us who should be standing in the gap for Christ? But you got some folk that's going to dog them out because they had a child? Huh? I mean,
yeah.
We better get it together. Forget what happens, what's going to happen in November. Only thing that's going to happen in November is a bunch of folk going to be mad. That's it. And a bunch of folk going to be happy. That's what's going to happen on November 8th. A bunch of happy folk and a bunch of mad folk. And if we don't get our stuff together and put some of that part in, put some of this political stuff to the side and deal with the business at hand and deal with what Christ really wants us to focus on, man, please. It will get rougher. I can speak that. It's going to get rougher because folk are going to start acting a straight fool. They may not act as racist as they did in 2008, 2012, but now race ain't the number one factor. Now it's economics. And if anybody has any type of common sense, they realize we ain't no far different than where we used to be back when this country was founded. It's about economics. Yes. Was it race?
Yeah.
No, it's about economics. That was the number one factor. Mm-hmm. Slavery, economics. Yeah. It wasn't that everybody was literally white in America at that time. We had Indians. So if it was about race, they just slaved all the dog on Indians. It was about power control. And I'm going to tell you, what amazes me, and I'm on a rant now and I'm about to shut up. What amazes me is so many people that I know ain't got a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of. And think that somebody going to help them just because they look like them? No, partner, you messed up. The folk that is going to have to come to folks, other folks' aid, watch what I tell you, it's going to be amazing. And the ones that are just going to say, you know what, I ain't going to do it. Going to have that pride. Going to have that pride. I deal with folk that live in trailer parks, white and black. I'm sorry, but your particular party is not going to do anything to help you in that trailer park down in Alabama or North Carolina or that reservation in Arizona. Neither one of them. So if it doesn't come down to the children of God, stop acting a doggone fool, put this political thing to the side. And here's the thing. If they don't want to do it, don't do it. How about this? Whoever's willing, let them come. That's a better recipe for success. Whoever's willing, let them come. Whoever doesn't see it as a race thing all the time, let them come. I heard something the other day just kind of made me go, bleh, almost threw up. How I wiped them about, somebody stood up, a pastor stood up and talked about certain things of a racial nature. And I'm thinking, you in the most racist, you in such a racist culture church, but you can stand up in front of folk. Folks see that stuff. So folk know when you sincere and when you ain't sincere. But when it come down to when the rubber meets the road, what are you going to do? I'm so grateful for opportunities. I really am. I'm grateful that God gives opportunities to get stuff right. And I'm not operating on no time clock of November 8th. I'm operating on the time clock of the day. Folk worrying about November 8th, it would be so funny if Jesus came back on the 7th. After all the money that these jokers spend. Think about it. He come back on the 7th of November. No man, the wife says, no man knows the day nor the hour, so I ain't prophesying that. I don't know. But I just think it would be hilarious and so sad if Christ came back on November the 7th. And I hope I got my date right? Election is November the 8th. He comes back the day before election, right? And all the money that has been spent to try to put a man or a woman in office, in an office that's really not going to do hardly nothing for certain communities, that's not going to have an immediate effect on most of our communities. All that money that it took is not going to mean anything during the tribulation period. Gone. But so much of that money right now can be used to just cure so many of the ills of society right now. so many of them. All right, I'm done. Adia, do you have anything, cousin? She's been quiet. Oh, my God. I think the next time she come on, she's going to be off the chain.
No, it was really, I really enjoyed it. I really did. Well, I do. Lord, I take that back. So I the one thing that I did like and that I just want to leave with us is that when it came to the boy, yes, excuse me, you know, Jesus asked him, he was like, all things are possible. And if I can leave us with one thing, is that all things are possible with Christ. And so it was never a question about if Jesus could heal. It wasn't never a question about if Jesus could give us the abundant life. And I think sometimes we question, you know, people tend to question the ability of Jesus. They question him based off of the world's system that fails us. They question stuff when people are laid off of jobs and they've been faithful and they've added value to that company. They begin to question, is Jesus able or capable of blessing them abundantly? And so Jesus was like, what you mean? Like, all things are possible. You don't know who I am? And unless we forget who he is, we will find ourselves questioning Jesus if he's able to do what he said he would do. And if we don't know what he said he would do, then we got to have, that means that we're missing out on the relationship with him. You know, and so that really just stuck out to me, you know, as Jesus was talking, and that's down in verse 23, and Jesus said, if you can do anything, is to mean, like, what you mean? Like, you got to check my credentials, you know what I'm saying? You're not turning that water into wine. And so I love that, you know, he asked that question. And I got the Amplified. You know, he says, if you can do anything, all things can be to him who believes. And so we asked him a question, but he said, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
Not if he believes, but if we believe. So do we believe? What are we believing? You know, and the world system will let us down. But I want to challenge us tonight to ask the question, do you believe? Because if we believe, then our what we say, well, first, what we think, what we say, and how we live, because you talked about actions speaking louder than our words, would line up with what we believe. And that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, we're out. We will see y'all next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. On behalf of myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, Satara Sherwood, Adia Sanders, Mary Ann Williams, and Warren Feaster in his absence, we love y'all. We will talk to y'all next week. God bless.